The Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
I guess the upside of the short opening, see, sooner or later I'm going to stop bugging you about that.
Hey,
I'm sorry, you got three sacks now, so now we can start building this little sound effects, you know, we'll build it in, you know what I mean? No?
None of that, man.
Well, what's the first thing I said to you when you walked in today?
Something about something.
I said, congratulations, but
on
the sacks, but
oh,
I know,
yeah, sure did.
I know you'd rather have the win.
Hey, man, the sacks are fine, but I give it back for a win.
Yeah.
It was a tough game. It was a tough one. And we would have liked to have that one, but we can't dwell on it. We have to nip it in the bud and move on.
You feel like the defense played four quarters of football?
I don't feel like we played 60 minutes. I'll say that because when we need to stop them on that last drive, we didn't. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, people could say, well, you know, you guys shut them out in the second half and blah, 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 or whatever. Yeah, that's great. We didn't stop them when we needed to, and that was that last four-minute drive.
Well, you guys got to Flacco a lot. This is a football team that, they've given up, I think they'd given up 18 sacks going into the game. So it's not like they'd given
19.
They hadn't given up a ton.
Right.
But they'd given up enough. And you guys as a football team now have 10 in the last two games. So, you know, as a measuring stick of the progress, how would you say you guys graded out, you know?
We're improving.
Yeah.
We definitely are improving. But, you know, we grade ourselves critically, and we don't just take whatever we can get. That's not the type of team we are. That's definitely not the type of defense we are. And that's not how our leader is. And Coach Raheem Morris, he doesn't just take what he can get. He wants to be perfect. He wants to be great. And in order to be great, you got to make some key stops like the miscommunication on the Todd Heap touchdown, mm-hmm. The could have been big play on the screen, and then that four-minute drive. I mean, that pass, that second touchdown, that was just a laser throw. And I mean, double covered.
Derek Mason been playing football a long time. That's a quality set of hands there. There's a small seam. It's a good throw. It's a good catch.
Right.
You know, that one, that's the offense making plays.
That's rough. They get paid too.
Sure.
Yeah. But when we need to make a key stop in a 4 minute at the end, we have to do that. That's something we have to do.
Well, you know, your first sack comes at a big time, though, because they were, you know, I'm sitting there looking, and I go through the first series, and that's a third and three from the Bucs 16. So they convert. They could turn that into a touchdown, but instead, it's such a big sack that Cundiff has to hit a 45-yarder. I mean, you knocked them way, way back on that. So, you know, just describe that play, because that's when you and Roy Miller and a lot of the D-line, and we'll talk about different names throughout the program, but you guys seem to be – is it you're getting more reps? You know what I mean? It's kind of like that synchronized swimming thing going on, the D-line starting. Y'all understand where each other's at?
We just communicate more, whereas we wasn't communicating as much as we needed to in the first half of the season. We knew we needed to make a change. We all agreed that we were the weak link of our defense, so we knew we needed to step it up. And we've been doing that the past few games, all the way back to Carolina.
I'd say Rams for you, actually. Say Rams.
Well, I mean collectively as a group.
Okay.
You know, all the way back to Carolina up to this past game. And we know – there were some things we were doing before where it was just like, well, why don't we just do this? I don't know why we wasn't feeling that, but we kind of can feel where each other's at now. We just make it work. Then, honestly, it just comes down to you beating the man in front of you, and that's what we've been doing.
Kudos on your conditioning, by the way. You played every snap, didn't you?
Or maybe
close darn
we
close.
60, I had 53.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if this is your rookie season, I ask you those typical questions you hear. Hey, 10 games in the NFL, your rookie season, how's your body holding? You're playing a lot of football, kid.
Yeah.
Playing a lot of football.
That's all right, man. I love to play it, and I'm happy my coaches want me out there, and they trust me to be out there in key situations. It's a confidence builder when you know your coaches want you out there in key situations. Even if you are tired, they say, hey, look, we need you out there. You got to suck it up, you know, and I love that.
You guys have everybody making plays. Tlaib gets his sixth pick. I think that was huge. Unfortunately, Cody gets hurt on the very same play, gets kind of rolled up on, and kind of took the winds out of the sails, like something you're celebrating at the same time. What was going through your mind? Because it seemed like a lot of the team was out there around Cody. And kudos to him, by the way. He was scheduled to do a radio show last night, and he could have backed out of that. He had 9 different reasons he did, and he didn't. And I thought he was awesome to listen to last night. By the way, it's at Buccaneers.com. But how was that for you, watching one of your teammates have to lay around for a while like that?
Well, you never want to see that. That's one of our family members, one of our brothers, and he's definitely a lot closer to me because we came in together. He's in a draft class, and I actually met Cody. Crazy story is on the way to the combine, we were on the same plane, and we took the same bus over to their facility. So I knew Cody beforehand, and it was cool to see him get drafted here and to see the type of player he's turning into. And it hurts you to see that because all he was doing was trying to, you know, help his teammates score. He knows the mentality we have, and he was just trying to stick to it. And, you know, power fell on him and just fell the way it did, and that's why, you know, we came together as a group and we said a quick prayer for Cody right there on the field.
You guys take that, and you know, a lot of people point to the fact that later on you lost by a touchdown, but you had to settle for 3 points there because that's one heck of a defense. Ravens, I went off the top of my head, said 20 red zone appearances. In other words, teams were in the red zone 20 times, 18 times, 18 times. They held him to a field goal or less. That's a solid D. That's a solid. I'm not, you know, it's not like you're out there playing. I'm just talking about the flow of the game and how it worked. And, you know, you're in a 3-3 ball game, a couple of minutes left in the first half, and then bam, a 65-yard play, and it kind of, you know, it's like one of those, well, this is the Ravens on the road. This is not the kind of big play you want to give up. So what was the rallying cry at halftime when you looked at that 17-3 score?
We knew that first one was just a bad miscommunication, and that second touchdown was them just making a good play. But we knew we were still in it. We scored one time, and you know the score ended up the way it was, 10-17.
Yep.
You know, we scored one time, that's the score. We score again, it's tied. So we knew all we had to do was get some stops on defense, and we were right back in it. So that was really the message. Us as a defense and them as an offense, we never – say anything about the other side. We have the utmost respect for each side of the ball, so all we can worry about is what we do. And we care about their side, and they care about our side. So we knew we trusted in them. We need to give them a chance. All we could do is do what we could do and keep getting stops.
The whole idea, at the beginning of the show, I asked you, you know, were you happy with the four quarters? And you said no. You know, we had a chance to get the ball back at the end. They got a couple first downs. They were able to take the knee and finish off the game. But you did pitch another, that's the fifth time this year this team has given up 0 points in the second half of a football. You know, that's what veteran defenses do every week. You know, they find a way to, you know, adjust, halftime adjustments, locker room speeches,
right,
whatever it is. Maybe it's just, you know, gap responsibility and making a tackle and making a play. But that's, you know, it's the kind of thing we in the media talk about. But at the same time, if you look back and you go, wow, we have 5 second half shutouts, you start to realize that this is a young defense that's starting to gel.
It is, and it's great to see us grow together and come together and be able to say, look, now, in order for us to have a chance to win, we have to keep them from scoring. And we played fairly decent in the first half of the season, but it's time to turn it up. And we've been getting better each week. Last week we held Frank Gore however many yards he had. I mean, I think
like
they had
70 combined.
Yeah.
That was about it. It was like 25
right.
rushing, maybe 50 receiving.
You know, and this week, Ray Rice had in the 30s or something like that.
Yep.
And
top five, anybody plays fantasy football knows those two names.
You know, right.
Those are premier backs in the
premier
league.
Premier backs. And we came together as a defense and slowed them down. And that's what we wanted to do. So we're going to keep building off that. But you hate to take away from the great things in the game, but that last 4-minute drive, man, we just got to work to get off the field on that.
Well, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, but, you know, we are finally going to hit the road with this show. You do know that now.
I heard.
Yeah. Well, we got to get you out in front of your people, man.
I heard, man.
You know, this is an interesting room and all, but wouldn't it be nice to, like, let's say, do this show next week from the stadium?
The fans.
I'd say, well, you know, what a great idea. So, as a matter of fact, that's what we're doing. Join us next week at Raymond James Stadium. That's the Lower West Club level. In other words, that's the Dale Mabry side of the stadium in the club level area. There's the Holiday Team Store in there. All kinds of awesome merchandise that you can buy for Christmas presents, of course. And the Total Access shows all next week. Coach's Show, too, Jeff. Coach's Show will also be broadcasting live from 6 to 7. So, remember, Monday, that's two shows. That's the 5 and 6 show. And then, of course, Gerald's show. Wednesday show, Josh Freeman's show, and then the Friday show. All the Total Access shows next week will be coming to you live from Raymond James Stadium. Come on in, get autographs, pose for pictures, check out the Holiday Team Store. That'll be open from 3 until 8, so before the show and a little bit after the show, all kinds of Buck merchandise there for you. Holiday gift giving, man, and we are taking the show on the road at Raymond James Stadium. We'll see you there all next week in the West Lower Club. All right, guys, let's get you on the phone lines. We'll talk about that third. By the way, you tied Warren Sapp for his rookie sack record. Okay. Any texts exchanged?
No.
Well, you need to text him in the break. Let him know.
No, none of that.
Maybe later?
No.
All right, guys, let's get you on the phone. Hillsborough 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. The Bucks are 7-4. Falcons coming into town. It's the throwback game. I think I'm going to wear this uni. I'm going to wear this jersey until it smells bad. I just love this color.
You can wear it until it smells bad, but I prefer you to wash it and then put it back on.
It's my Rondé throwback. It's the only throwback I got, man.
Rondé washes his.
All right, coming back to the Gerald McCoy Show in a couple minutes. Get on those phones, and we'll talk Buck football right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Juice Benzada has converted two-thirds downs, and he comes in motion to the near side. Out of the shotgun formation, moving right from the 16. They need to reach the 13-yard line. The snap. Here comes pressure from the outside. Pressure. Flacco will go down at the 29-yard line. Second sack of the game. Ball on the deck picked up by Rondé Barber, but it's ruled down by contact.
That was your first one. Your second year of your career. And I said, well, it's not I say this. Rondé Barber said this to me, and I relate it to you. It's sacks and picks and things like that. They seem to come in bunches. It seems like once you start to generate that moment. What if you play such a game of momentum, don't you? Momentum swings.
Yes.
You know, talk about that for a second. How the last two games are so different than your first two games. I mean, think about them. If you were to sit there and look at the Cleveland and the Carolina game and then look at these two, it's like, what happened to Gerald McCoy? What light switch went on? What happened? How did that go? And we've been talking about it piece by piece, but a lot of it has to do with in between the ears too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So give me your version of what's different.
I could go into it and say, hey, I thought about this, and I finally realized that I could do this or do that, whatever it was. To be honest, what it was and what's changed and how I'm playing is God has a vision for each one of our lives, and his vision for mine I lost focus of, and I started to live according to how I wanted to instead of focusing on God's vision for me, and I kind of got off on a different, not that I got off on the wrong path, but my mindset was just different. And I was worried about the wrong things, and sometimes it caused me to do the wrong things. So once I put my total and 100% focus into God's plan for my life, things just made a quick flip. I mean, within two games, I had three sacks. It happened that fast. And it was simply just God showing me, look, this is what I want you to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're not doing. So I have to open your eyes somehow. And that's really what just happened. There's no, I didn't do anything any different. I prepared the same, watched film, all that. It just started to happen.
What I'm getting from that is you trust in your gifts you've been given, and now you're starting to just trust in your gifts more and letting your gifts take over. If you will.
Definitely.
So when you start to talk about surrendering or changing trust, you're a man of God, and later on in the program but I got to ask you, I talked about Johnson tweeting, he drops a touchdown pass, and And, you know, so many times we'll see Peyton Hillis, you know, score and kind of point up. And lots of people thank their creator or their maker or Jesus or whatever their belief system is that they believe in. But very few people will tweet, you know, a complaint to God out loud. And did you see his press conference afterwards?
Yeah, I seen it.
You know, he's a young player. You know,
he's
got a chance to win a game there. Literally loses the game, drops the game. You know, that's not a position that you'd be in unless you had a chance to catch a bad pass and, or you know, get a sack or safety that would, you know, win a game on your play. But you know, he puts it out there, and what do people of faith say back about things like that?
Well, you know, you're going to be upset, and you're going to be, you know, angry, and it's okay to feel, you know, I guess you could say, I guess you could be disappointed, you know, like you've been treated unfairly. But let's be honest about this. How unfair are you being treated? You had an opportunity to make a huge play in a game that you love playing, that people dream to be in the position that you're in. You're doing a press conference for the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And us as believers or Christians or just humans in general seem to look past things of that sort. And, I mean, he came out on Twitter and basically blamed God for him not catching that ball. And, I mean, I was in chapel this past week, and I wrote this down, and I have it in capital letters. It says, we have no entitlements. We owe everything to Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything that he's been through, everything that's happened, he owes it to God. And, you know, I just – that's just a no-no. You can't blame God for – and he has to realize that. And he has already, because he's already made apologies and tried to explain it. But you have to realize that God works according to his will, not ours. And that's another thing that I had to realize, that God is going to do it how he wants to do it regardless. And you have to focus on how God wants it done, not how you want it to be.
Let me ask you about post-game press conferences, because remember a couple of weeks ago when you guys lost a tough one and you kind of took it hard and you kind of literally, you were feeling the pressure.
Right.
You know, you are a first-round draft pick, and up at that point you hadn't even had a sack yet. Now, you know, in the last three games you've been turning it on. But after the game, you really, it's almost, should there be like
Saints game.
Should there be a 2 or 3 hour period to let you guys cool down? I mean, you look at what happened in the Arizona press conference last night with Derek Anderson. You look at what happened, and so many of these things that end up on YouTube are guys losing it after games because they're just jacked on everything from emotion.
They come right in.
And
they give
adrenaline.
You 5 minutes.
Yeah,
they give you 5 minutes.
What do you think? What do you 10 think about
to 15
that?
If you include talking to the other team after the game, shaking hands, going in the locker room, your coach talking to you. Then you got 5 minutes. Yeah, you haven't cooled off by then. Win or lose, you haven't cooled off by then. So if you're excited about this win, you could just blurt out something that you've been thinking, and oh, it's too late. You can't say, oh, I meant. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. By then, it's already out. And when you're angry, you're going to express that anger. You just are. And, I mean, that's just what happens. Like the reporter last night, I think he asked a question, you know, a little out of line, but hey, I mean, he answered the way he responded, the way he responded. The guy for the Bills, he responded the way he responded after, you know, a tough loss, man. K2, he did it in college. He was just angry. I mean, you get angry and it happens.
He's a warrior.
Yeah.
That'll always follow him wherever
he
goes.
He's a soldier.
You know, or soldier. You always, you know, it's funny. You know, playoffs. You know,
yeah.
you they are who we thought we were. You know,
yeah.
You could just start running down.
Everybody gets.
The post-game meltdowns.
You got to give us a second. But, I mean, you got to do it right then because everybody wants to get out of there. So.
All right, when you talk to some people right now, I bet you they're going to ask you some fun questions. What do you say we go to the phones?
Perhaps.
All right, Paul, you're on deck. We're coming to you second. Chris, you're up first tonight on the Gerald McCoy Show. Welcome.
Hey, what's happening, Gerald and Ledge?
How you doing, buddy?
Gerald, I know it's, you know, congrats on the 2 sacks, and I know you'd trade those for a win any day. But as far as a loss like this, you can what I saw is you can neither hold your head high or neither hold your head low, because it was a game that, yes, we lost, but there was improvement, and I'm sure your coaches have gone over that with you in the film room and you know in meetings. But what I saw was definitely the front line improved, you know, with your two sacks, and I saw a lot of pressure, and holding Ray Rice to what you held him to, which was not much. And then, you know, it all starts up front. So the front line on defense, I saw vast improvements. And then on offense, this is what amazed me. You got Baltimore, who is known for a ferocious, nasty defense, and they still are and have been for many years. But to hold them to no sacks and no turnovers, people just – I talk to people and they just kind of like nonchalantly go, yeah, oh well. Man, you just don't do that against this defense. I got him on my fantasy team, but I did not start him, and I'm glad I didn't because they got zipped. I mean, their defense, I mean, I would have gotten 4 points from my fantasy team. But so my point is, Gerald, I mean, looking forward, this is a team on the rise, and I see the defense now catching up with the offense. And once the two of you, which is pretty soon, you guys are a couple inches away, once the two of you are on fire together, look out, man. This is going to be a nasty, scary team. And good luck on Sunday, Gerald.
Appreciate that, Chris. Chris sees the big picture. You could take a lot of positives from this game, but nobody sees the positives. All they see is, Coach Raheem said that they were the best team in the NFC, and then they went on a road, and they haven't beaten the team with the blah. Sure. We ain't worried about that. There's a lot of great things we could take from this game and a lot of positives, and that's what we look at. You see the bad things and the things you could fix, but you don't dwell on those. You take the good things and you build off those. And Chris understands that. So appreciate you, Chris, and all your comments.
It's ironic that you weren't here last year, but you were 3-3 and 13 team, and you guys could go 10-6, not make the playoffs, and there's going to be a disappointed building. You won 7 more games than the previous year. Young coach, young players, yeah, everything. You know, everything's developing, but the success you had is almost a double-edged sword. It's almost like, okay, well, until they beat – well, you got 7 wins in the NFL. That's a lot more than a lot of other teams have, and it's – yeah. Let me ask you about this fantasy thing. People make so many references to fantasy football now, and I always get in these arguments where people are having problems because they root against their team or a player on the team they supposedly – I'm a Buck fan, but I have Ray Rice. You know, I'm like, it's such a muddy little water. What's it like for you to be a professional athlete and have fans kind of, it's like the fantasy reality is a blurred line. There's a blurred line in fandom.
Yeah. Right, I mean,
not everybody, but some.
It's competition. Everybody wants to compete and people have fun the way they do it. I'm not a fantasy football guy. I hear it's fun, but I don't put much focus into it. We even have, you know, I've heard of other, you know, guys on NFL teams that do it. I mean, it's a fun thing to do. And, I mean, if you have this guy up, of course you're going to say, hey, well, look, this guy nipped it in the bud and gone against the Bucs defense this week because I got so-and-so. And, I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes.
Bottom line is I got a text from somebody the other day, you know, Ray Rice takes it 76 yards. Savvy Piscatelli draws a holding call. I get a text from someone going, bummer, that cost me 6 points, you know, because Ray Rice was his running back. I said, wait a minute, aren't you a Buck fan? Aren't you happy that they, you know? And I always wondered what a professional athlete says, like, you know, well, are you a fan of the Bucks or are you a fan of your fantasy football team and stuff like that? But we're going to go back to the phones now. Paul, you're up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. What's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Gerald. Gerald, I just want to commend you on a couple things, one a lot more than the other. The first thing I want to talk about is the football side of you. If anybody that's a Buck fan, I've been seeing you coming this year. You've been little bits and pieces. It looked like it was difficult at first, and, you know, for whatever reasons, you just weren't having quite the impact, I'm sure, that you hoped for and that we are as fans expecting. But now it really seems like you're coming, and to me it just looks like your penetration off the line, and you just I don't know what's happened or if it's just the learned skills or the experience or what, but you're really coming out of the box. I see nothing but an upside for you at this point. I just really want to commend you. Whatever you're doing, keep doing. But the other thing I want to talk to Gerald is about your faith. I've listened to the show a couple times now, and I just happen each time as I click it on, I hear you talking for whatever topic it may be, and you seem so sincere and genuine. And us that are Christians, it really touches us to hear athletes that are not afraid to profess their faith. And Ledge, I got to commend you too. You don't shy away from it as far as within. And I'm just wondering, do you get any directive? Has any other players, has any organization people, has anybody ever told you, hey, you know, be cool with that, back off, don't push it? Because so many guys I know that are Christians, you wouldn't know it, whether it's their actions, whether it's their interviews, whatever. But you, it really seems to be at the forefront of who you are and what you talk about. And I'm just really curious as to the NFL kind of gives you guys at all the coolest thing, you know. Because I remember John Kitten a couple of years ago, he had a hat on that it was a Jesus hat. And I believe, I want to say that he got fined for it. Is that, so any thought process of you at all? Are you concerned at all that, hey, I'm getting over the top? And believe me, you're not. There's no such thing as too much of it. But is there anything that's ever discussed either by players or by the organization or the NFL to you about, you know, hey, cool it, don't push it down people's throats? Don't, I mean, what is your thought process on that?
Okay. All right, Paul, we got you.
Yeah.
No, I just did because he was asking the same question over and over again. But great question. But let me just say before you answer, it's the Gerald McCoy Show. It's not Scott Ledger's show. It's not the Buck Show. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. You can do this. You know, we talked about that. And you even said, you know, I'd like to do something. I just looked at you and go, sure, it's your show, absolutely.
Yeah.
So from the broadcasting side, there's never a problem there.
I
never
feel like it's my duty to do these things. And I feel like I'm supposed to do it. That's what me as a Christian, I'm supposed to do is, spread the gospel to as many people as possible. And what better opportunity to do it than on a radio show that people listen to, or what better platform than as an NFL player?
Yeah, it's interwoven into your life. It's not just something you talk about.
God's put me in this position for a reason. Of course, he knows I want to be successful, but he's given me one of the greatest platforms you can have to spread, the gospel to other people. And I'm going to do that regardless of who tells me no or whatever. Then I'll find some way to do it. Nobody has ever come to me and said, hey, maybe you need to cool it. Maybe you need to. No, actually, Coach Morris and Mr. Dominic encourage it. A lot of people don't realize Mr. Dominic is a big Christian himself. I mean, people don't mean because he has a business side to him. That's all everybody sees. But he's big on it, too. So they encourage it. We have Bible studies. They push chapel and everything. They don't force it down anybody's throat, but they give us a choice, just like God gives us a choice of whether we want to serve him or not. He doesn't force it upon us either. He gives us a choice, and this is what I've chosen to do, and I'm going to continue to do it.
There are many, many websites, blogs, everything out there that'll take anything that a player does or says, fights, fines, on-field fights. You know, the NFL has enough PR problems from time to time with some players stepping outside the box. I don't think they'd have any problem with a man professing his faith right. And trying to stay within some circumstances in his lifetime. I don't think you're going to be hearing from the commissioner is what I'm saying.
They couldn't be worried about me. They have to be worried about James Harrison.
Yes, exactly.
They have to, because each week you see James Harrison.
He's got auto deduction in his paycheck now. They just take it out automatically.
They got to. It's got to be something there.
Hey, get on the phone lines. Charlie and George, we're coming right to you. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. George, you're on deck. Charlie, you're on with Gerald McCoy. Welcome to the show.
Scott, thanks. Thank you so much. And, Gerald, I don't have any questions to ask. I just wanted to encourage you a little bit. I was pleased with the pick when they got you back in April. I'm pleased for you. I'm pleased for the effect that you're having on this Buccaneer team. But I never really got to listen to your show. I work a lot of nights. But listening, you really just blew me away. Obviously, your play blows us away on Sundays. But I wanted to thank you. You know, Charles Barkley said, 10, 15 years ago now, I'm not a role model. You know, he didn't realize at that time that he really was. But I think you understand that you are. And on top of having worlds of talent and on top of having mountains of money at this point, you're absolutely right that you do have an unsung responsibility. And so far, you're so effectively carrying that responsibility and carrying that mantle. And I pray that you receive blessing for it, because the truth is that long after the season's over, long after your playing career is over, you're still going to have such a tremendous pulpit from which to minister to young people and old people, fans and non-fans alike. and I thank you for, you know, your rookie season. And of course, the more sacks you get, the bigger pulse you'll have because more people will pay attention. But the fact of the matter is that you know, long after this fades away and long after, you know, all of our bodies break down, you're still going to have an opportunity to use what God has given you. And that's more than your strength, more than your speed, your quickness and agility. It's going to be your voice and the way you live your life. So thank you so much. You know, Jesus said that Peter was the rock he would build his church on. Well, you're the rock we're hoping to build our defense on. But I tell you, we can also build one heck of a great team that we can cheer with our children for, you know, around a man like you. So thank you, Gerald. Keep it up. I pray God blesses you and places a hedge of protection around you on the playing field and around your heart as well, because I know that it's tough. But thank you, Gerald. Godspeed this season. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, Charlie. It's, one thing my father always does is he tells people God bless, and that's just what he does, and that's what I was raised to do. But one thing he always tells people, even if he doesn't feel like they have strong faith or whatever it is, he always say, you know, pray for us. I mean, because regardless of why people pray or when it happens, prayer is something people do. If a person, you know, does whatever they want to do their whole lives, and then they're, you know, their mother or a family member gets sick, they immediately turn to prayer. So anybody can pray, you know. So he always tells us, my father always tells people to pray for us. So, you know, it's always great to know that somebody out there is praying for you. So I appreciate that, Charlie.
You got it. Before we go to break, let's go to George. George, welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
You got it.
I got a quick question for you, Gerald. I played a little bit in college and yada yada. I coach now, and I personally, I guess I never needed really a pregame speech to get me motivated to play football. Now I'm assuming I didn't play at your level. Obviously, I don't know what kind of. I guess my question is how effective really is a pregame speech? I mean, at that level, or even going back, I mean, you played for Bob Stoops. He seems like a fiery guy who would give some decent pregame speeches. And even going back to high school, did it get you up for a game, or are you more interested in just trying to? I guess the way I look at it, when I'm coaching, it seems like I have too many other things I'm going over. Like I'm trying to tell my quarterback, you know, you got to look for this, you got to look, and you know, a pregame speech to me just. It never motivated me all that much.
Right.
I just wanted to go play anyway. I was just curious how it affected you, and I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate
it.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
George.
That's a real good question. Yeah. I like that. I've had coaches that have come in and say, all right, let's do it. And we're going to the field. I've had coaches that come in and give some legendary speeches that you can clearly tell it's not theirs. You know, I've had some coaches come in and just come up with some stuff off the top of their head. And honestly, it is to get you motivated, but it's kind of the vision of what this coach wants to do out there for this game. And
did the coach speak to you as a team, or did you feel like the message was directly aimed at you?
No.
Because there's
it's
a difference.
You know what I mean? I mean, when I had stuff directly aimed at me, the coach would pull me to the side or walk past me.
I don't mean specifically. Right. I just mean like when he goes, if a coach goes,
how do I take it?
You know what's inside
right.
of you. You know what you need to do out
yeah.
there. He's using the word you, not, you know, in other words, he's addressing the group.
He's addressing the team.
That's what I mean. Did it affect you personally? Is that how you took it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a team effort, and we go out there as a family, and he kind of basically just expresses what he expects from us or what he knows that we could do, and you just kind of buy into it. That's one of those deals. I never really use a pregame speech to motivate me, but it's always good to hear because your coach lets you know what his vision is right then. You know, he'd come in and tell you, you know, we don't care about what they do or what their record is or blah, blah, blah. We just think about it. We care about what we do. And we got to go out there and play our game. So let's just go out there and do what, you know, that's letting us know that's his vision. That's what we need to do as a group to go out there.
How about you always see the camera shots.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's Rondé and the whole defense is around him. And, you know, like what Drew Brees does, he does the cadence.
Right.
How about that bit of fieriness? Does that get the adrenaline pumping?
It can.
On the sideline?
It can. Everybody gets motivated the way they get motivated. Some people don't need that. Some people are already motivated, and then they say that, and you just, you know, okay, we together now. Like when Rondé comes in and he says something, it isn't like we, you know, just get all riled up, start yelling and jumping. That's our leader. And when he comes in and says something, everybody focuses and locks in and says, okay, our leader just spoke. Now let's go do it. I mean, simple as that.
That is the Gerald, the voice of Gerald McCoy. Three sacks, tied Warren Sapp. By the way, you should be texting him. I'm telling you. Let him know that his rookie record got tied and you got five games left.
I will not do that.
You should. You should.
All right,
for those of you who have Warren Sapp on Twitter, you have my permission to inform Warren Sapp that Gerald McCoy tied his record for rookie
record. But you don't have mine. The Gerald McCoy Show.
You're pulling rank. All right, way to go. We're taking this show on the road next week. Raymond James Stadium, Lower West Club level. That's the Dale Mabry side. Inside the Holiday Team Store, there'll be tons of stuff to pick up for Christmas. Of course, everybody will be broadcasting live. It'll be a chance to meet some of your favorite Buccaneer players, and that includes, of course, the head coach as well. His show will be there on Monday as well. So look for us. The store will be open from 3 to 8. That's the West Side Club level, Dale Mabry side of Raymond James Stadium, all next week as we bring you Buccaneers Total Access live and in person. Let's get on the phones, guys, and we'll talk more with Gerald on the Gerald McCoy Show. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Coming back for the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show. Got some player moves we'll be talking about a little bit when we come back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
28 seconds left of the third quarter, and the Ravens hang on to a 17-3 lead. Up 14 points, two quick touchdowns in the closing 3.5 minutes. Of the first half. Shotgun formation, Flacco. Two receivers to the left, two to the right. Dropping Flacco. Here comes the pressure. Pumping. He will be in the grasp and sacked by Gerald McCoy. How about Gerald McCoy, a second sack of the game?
That is your first multi-sack game.
It was.
So, last 2 weeks ago, you get your first sack ever. Two halves. Should be 1.5. It should be 1.5, we know. Nothing against Al Woods, but that first one was all you. And then the second one, I don't know, we could argue then that might be Styles all Styles, though, too. So either way, you got a sack.
Right.
Then you get two. So they're starting to come in bunches. And, you know, the game changers, you know, let's put it this way. You didn't win that game, but that first sack takes a team that's looking, you know, deep in the red zone all the way back out kicking a long field goal. Those are the game-changing plays that you feel you can make and that the team's looking for you to make and fans and the whole thing of being a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Game changer, all these, you know, equalizer, all these different phrases used to describe. Are you starting to feel like the world I don't know how to want to phrase this, you know, because Sue was going off early in the season, and everybody's, yeah, what about this McCoy guy? What about this McCoy guy? So now you're starting to say, what does that say to everyone that's looking at you? I can play. Watch the film, you know, game changers, quarterback pressures. I'm not talking stats as bragging. I'm talking stats as you're showing, you know, you're making effective plays.
Right. I mean, and it is what it is. Nobody said that, you know, a person has to, you know, come along immediately. Like I said this when I first got drafted. I learn a different way, and people learn the way they learn. Some people pick it up right now. Some people pick it up, you know, within a year or two. Like, and one of my examples is Chris Long. If nobody has seen Chris Long play this year, then you need to watch him. Because this is completely different Chris Long that you've seen in the first 2 years. I mean, I don't know what's clicked in his head, but he's picking it up. He's got it now. He's a really good pass rusher. I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, I'll sit and watch him rush the pass. Even though it's off the edge, I mean, the moves he uses and how he's changing up how he does it, I mean, he's learning. And, you know, not everybody learns immediately. Now it doesn't click to everybody immediately, but the coaches, they know what they see. The GM knows what he sees. The owners, they know what they see, and they pick you for a reason.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And Chris Long probably went out, had a few beers with his dad. And then his dad said, you know what? Sometimes you just got to trust in the ability and just go out there and stop thinking and play football. Whoop the guy's butt in front of you.
I don't know what he said, but it's starting to come. He's seeing something, right?
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We got Leilani and Andre on deck. We're coming right to you guys. It's Richard. Richard, you're on with Gerald McCoy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gerald. How are you?
Hey, Richard. How you doing?
Just very briefly, Gerald, I just want to – you guys' output has just been phenomenal. You're a fun team to watch, a bunch of young guys that are into the game, and Rahi Morris is just you're just a very fun team to watch, and your output is unbelievable. And I kind of grew up in Big 8, Big 12 country, and, of course, I'm a big Josh Freeman fan. And it's just – I just want to tell you, I go get my $40 ticket, set in the third deck, thoroughly enjoy your output, and I'm on board and wish you the very, very best of luck the rest of the season. And you and many of your teammates, you're totally class acts, and wish you the very best. Appreciate your output, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate that. Fans are great, right? Don't you think so?
They are the soul of sports.
I love fans. Without fans, sports would be nothing. Because you can have a bunch of guys
lots
out
of crickets,
there just
baby.
Play. Without fans, you just have a pickup game.
That's right.
Right?
A very organized,
I mean, very expensive pickup game, but hey, it'll be a pickup game. Backyard football is what it'll be.
You want to hear what goes on in the field? That'd be a quiet game. I wouldn't have to worry about, huddles.
It wouldn't necessarily be quiet, but there'd be a lot of words being said that you don't hear with the fans there. But, Richard, I really appreciate that, man.
You got it. Right back to the phones. Leilani, stand by. We're coming to you next. Andre, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show. Welcome.
Yes, Mr. McCoy.
Hey, Andre, how you doing?
Hey, all right, how you doing? First of all, I'm from Kansas City, so I saw you and Josh on a regular basis as opponents in that area, okay? Also, I'm an umpire, and I tutor math. And I saw in the game that when you made your first sack, I saw a move that I was able to equate to an equation that I used I can show the kids your movement, and I can also show them the equation that goes with it. But the question I wanted to ask you was, sometimes do you notice in your opponent a flaw, and you may save it for a particular time in the game? Because it seems to me like your sacks are always timely. They're not just normal sacks, but they come at a good time when the team really needs it. And I was thinking, do you set your opponent up for a particular time where you use this move, or if you find that flaw, do you use it right away?
That's an interesting question.
It is.
It's kind of like having, you know, if you got a couple power moves, you got some speed moves, you got an arsenal that you're building, and you're thinking to yourself, what are you thinking then?
Well, he definitely sounds like a teacher.
Yeah, he does.
He definitely sounds like a teacher.
Yeah, I thought he was going to break out the protractor and describe your sack.
I thought he was about to ask me a math question, so I said, hey now, school's
over. I was going to hand that one to you because I'm not good at math.
No, but honestly, that's one of those things that you learn as you get older, that I was told, you know, Sapp has told me this, other guys have told me this. You always have your go-to move. Sapp had a go-to move, and I know what that is. I've seen it. I've studied it. Nobody does it like he did it, but he had counter moves. But and your opponent is going to study you, too. But when you look at the guy, that's the thing about studying film. You don't just go watch film and say, okay, we're playing this person. He blocks like this. You see how he does his hands, if he moves his foot a certain way, different things he does. And then you think, okay, what are my best moves and how can I use them to beat him? Well, then you have a move that you know will work against this guy that you use. And you just use that. And definitely in critical parts of the game, you say, well, somebody has to win. I know that this is my go-to move. So you're going to have counter moves throughout the game, but you always have to revert back to your go-to move. And you set your opponent up by doing different things. Then he doesn't know what's coming. Then, bam, your go-to move, you got to beat.
It's a copycat league. I mean, if you go all the way to defensive coordinators, but then you go all the way down to individual players. Let me ask you this. Let's say you're studying film of the Ravens offensive line last week. And you looked at, let's say, the Steelers playing them and the Browns playing them. And you looked at the Steeler D-tackles and the Browns D-tackles. And all of a sudden, you look at someone who makes a nice move, and you go, wait a minute, that's a nice move.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
all it is.
It's almost like you're borrowing a little bit of everybody, aren't you?
You look at your opponent, and you watch film on how they blocked this person or that person. Then you say, okay, do I even have that move? Can I do that move? You know, like, nobody goes and watches Dwight Freeney and say, hey, I'm going to spin. Nope. Nobody does that. Nobody watches the Colts DNs and say, I'm going to go do what they do. no, you can't do it. Nobody in the league does what they do. That's why those guys are just a different breed of DN, and they're in that defense for a reason. But you could say, okay, he spun inside because this guy keeps oversetting him. That's Dwight Freeney's inside move. He can punch you, but everybody knows Dwight Freeney's going to spin. But when does he spin? After he sets that up. He runs speed rush. He runs bull rush. Then he runs and gets the guy nervous, so the guy jumps him, spin move, sack. I mean, there's different ways you set things up, but his go-to move is the spin.
See, Andre's paying attention out there. He's a good he's a good teacher, like you said. Yes. Let's go back to the phones. Leilani, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, good afternoon, or good evening, I should say. I just wanted to say I was very pleased with the two sacks that Gerald made, and also I wanted to make sure he was okay because he got a little scared there for a moment.
Oh, no, yes, I am fine and ready to roll against the Falcons, man. I appreciate that, and I'm going to try and keep it coming.
All right, and just hope, pray God that keeps you safe for the rest of the weekend, for the next game, and the rest of the year.
Thank you, Leilani. I appreciate that, darling.
Good call. You guys had to put Kyle Moore, his shoulder injury. He's on IR. Akib, Cody Grimm, it goes down with a broken foot. Davin Joseph. And the team,
go ahead.
And the team released Savvy Piscatelli today. Four player moves today.
There was some player moves. You know, we hate to see Savvy go, but Coach Morris, Mr. Dominic told us that's the nature of the beast, man. You never know what can happen to anybody. It's just what happens in this league. And you have to be prepared for the worst.
Same thing,
every day you wake up.
A couple weeks ago, Ryan Sims was playing football for the Bucs, and now he's out looking for work. And that's just
every day you wake up, you got to be prepared for the worst. Just want to say something about Davin. He went to Oklahoma. He was dominant there. He's been a great player in the league. He's already made a Pro Bowl. I personally think he's been having a Pro Bowl season this year with protecting Freeman and how he blocks on the run. One thing I want to say about Davin is he's a very, very hard worker. And Davin comes and talks to me all the time. He'd beat me up and throw me on the ground and then block me and then say, hey, look, don't take it personal. This is what you need to do this time. This is what you need to do next time. Why don't you try working on this? This is what an offensive lineman can do or whatever. And it's helped me. Davin has been helping me all year. I go against Davin every day because he's the right guard and I rush on the left side. Mm-hmm. So I go against Davin all the time. And he's helping me. There'll be times where I'll beat Davin. And he'll say, good job, you did this right, you did that right. Then there'll be times with Davin to make me look like I shouldn't be in the league. I mean, he's just that type of player. I think he's a Pro Bowl guard.
This is fifth year.
Each year he should be in the Pro Bowl. He's a great player. He helps me constantly. And, you know, I just hate to see Davin go, man, because of how hard he works. And he told me one day, Davin said, the day that you relax is the day you lose your job. And he never does. He never takes a playoff, never takes a day off. It's hard work.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster is in flux, if you will. Some players will be added. Some have been. You'll be hearing more about that in press releases in the next couple of days. But all eyes are now focused on the creamsicle jersey. Now, you've worn the creamsicle for photo op, right? I think I saw a picture of you. Did I ever see you? I swear to God I saw you. So you've never even had the colors on? Or the old school hat? No?
Never.
Oh, man, that's going to be exciting.
It is.
It's going to be exciting. Well, everybody, Buccaneers.com, of course, has your tickets. We would love to see everybody out there this Sunday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, 9-2 versus 7-3. We'll come back and talk a little bit about that. And also, you're going to go to the Good Book and give us a little advice on how you're going to maybe have a three-sack game? I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but
we'll see.
You know, you start make more and more splash plays, as the old coach used to say. So,
we'll see.
All right, guys, come back and finish up the Gerald McCoy Show for a Tuesday night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
This young Buccaneer team has never lost two in a row this year. They have no intention to start now. As a matter of fact, it's got to feel good to come and play a home game. This is only your second home game, if you will, in your last six games. You guys have been on the road a lot.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
Kind of.
Yeah? So before we get to that game, take us to the good book and some words that inspire you and tell us how they'll inspire you this weekend.
One of the things I try not to do, I mean, I'll stay in my word and I try and get, you know, I read the Bible just because it helps me grow closer to God and it lets me know what I need to do to reach people more. Well, you know, also do it to motivate me throughout the week and help me out. Well, I have two scriptures this week. One comes out of Matthew 6, verse 34, and the other one is John 15:7. And they both pertain to what I was talking about earlier about staying focused on, God's plan for your life and let everything else fall where it may. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Give tomorrow to God. All you can worry about is what's going on right now and putting your total focus on what God's vision is for you today. And let tomorrow worry about itself. Because if you worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, that's like me getting ready for a game and saying, "Oh, well, I'm nervous about tomorrow," whatever. Trust in God and let him handle that. Put it in God's hands and let him have it. Then John 15:7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given." So basically God is telling you the plan that I have for your life and the things that I've commanded you to do on this earth, you do those and you'll have favor is basically what he's saying. I will show you favor and whatever you ask according to my will be done for you. And if my words remain in you and you follow my commandments, and that's, really what's changed in my life. I kind of swayed away from it a little bit, but I put my whole total focus back into it and things have started a transformation is changing. I've put everything behind me, the old things I was doing, and I'm looking towards the future.
Living in the now, tomorrow takes care of itself. Let me ask you during a game, you got defensive signals, being called by Barrett and different things, and there's all kinds of things being yelled around. Is there ever a moment when you're standing there, during that 45 seconds where there's a quick communication between you and your creator?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is. I'll say, "God, let your will be done for me throughout the rest of this game." And there it is.
Gotcha.
And I could keep playing. That's some of the things I wasn't doing. And I'm trying to make complete transformation in Gerald. That's what I mean. If you notice, I'm growing my hair out now.
Yeah.
It's getting a little longer, man.
Yeah, Freeman's safe right now.
I'm not growing any dreads or braids or nothing, but I'm just growing my hair a little longer. Just trying something new.
We have about 90 seconds to talk about a very good football team. It's hard to acknowledge they're in our division, but, what can you say? This is a team they've come from behind victories. They're solid. They've got a great quarterback. They've got a good running game. They're not 9-2 by mistake. You got to give them respect.
You have to. They have a great leader in Matt Ryan. They have playmakers. We have a great leader in Josh Freeman. We have playmakers. Their playmakers are going to go against our playmakers on the throwback day at Ray J, and it's going to be great. Can't wait.
That was nice. I was throwing a little beatbox under that.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
And that was not written.
I know.
Now that should be a pregame speech.
Right off the top. I liked it.
There you go.
Well, we got it on tape. We'll go back. I'll use it tomorrow morning on the Buccaneer update. But this is the biggest game in your professional career so far. That's probably, you have to say, your biggest one.
Because they're all big. You want me to tell you why?
But this is a big one.
I'm going to tell you why. Because it's the next game on the schedule.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, well, it's the stinking dirty birds. We don't like them. Good show, bro.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you to Chris, Paul, George, Charlie, Richard, Andre, Leilani, everybody who called in. Great show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Buccaneers Total Access. I'm Scott Ledger. Everybody have a great night. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.